The world of college sports is in an unprecedented state of turmoil with no end in sight. On June 6th, a multi-billion dollar legal settlement was formally approved, paving the way for schools to begin paying their athletes directly. With us to talk about this is Lester Munson. He's been a lawyer for 57 years, a graduate of the University of Chicago. You will likely know him as one of our country's most esteemed sports journalists, whose work has shaped how America understands money, celebrity, violence, drugs, race, gender, greed, falls from grace, court decisions, and government actions in sports industry. He wrote for Sports Illustrated for 13 years and then joined ESPN for 16 years. Welcome to the show, Lester. Nice to see you. Happy Father's Day.
And thank you, Karen. It's great to be back.
Let's get right to the terms of this settlement. What are the bullet-pointed terms that are going to be going forward and going backward to pay these athletes?
The terms include the establishment of a new entity called the College Sports Commission. It will attempt to govern payment to athletes. Payment will come in two forms right away. The first is the schools will be allowed to make deals with businesses and use that money to pay athletes. So you could be Northwestern University, make a deal with a car dealer in Evanston and have that car dealer pay one of your star football or basketball players.
Ah, interesting.
In addition to that, the players can do their own deals. They can go to the State Farm Insurance Company or to Budweiser and make a deal to pay them to endorse their product. Most famously, this is what Caitlin Clark did when she was at the University of Iowa. She had $20 million worth of endorsements in her senior year from big companies, including State Farm and others. So that will now become totally legal. It will be governed by the schools in the form of the College Sports Commission, and that will start July 1. That's coming up fast.
Wow. Wow. And so, and then there's some payments going back to some of the athletes, right?
There are damages, so-called damages, but what lawyers call damages
right.
Payments. There's $2.8 billion set aside. The schools are going to have to pay this to athletes who played for their schools beginning in 2016. It sounds like a lot of money, but it's over 10 years. So right away, it's only $2.8 million a year. There will be a minimum of 1,000 athletes making claims here, so that comes down to $2,800 per athlete. So it's not a big part. It sounds big, and I think the people who did this settlement want us to think it's a big deal, but it is not.
Interesting. So what happens? So obviously we're talking about football and basketball, revenue sports, but what about sports like swimming and gymnastics and sports that don't earn money? How do these paying of athletes affect those athletes?
Well, as you suggest, the most money will go to football, men's basketball, and now, thanks to Caitlin Clark, women's basketball. There will be minimal payments to these other sports. The rationale for that is that the big-time sports produce the big money, which is absolutely true. Legally, however, this settlement is vulnerable to attack from those other sports, the so-called Olympic sports that include volleyball, gymnastics, and all the other sports that you see. It may be that as a result of this, there will be fewer of those sports on college campuses. A school like Stanford has 35 sports today. That could easily drop to 25 when all this settles out.
Interesting. So it's maybe good for the football and basketball athletes, but not so good to people who are in wrestling and some of these other sports.
Absolutely correct. It's particularly not so good for women's sports. The people who are doing this stuff is produced by antitrust cases. The lawyers and the economists who are involved in those cases have tended to ignore women's sports. That will come back to haunt them because as soon as this goes into effect, we know there will be women athletes coming into court to attack the settlement under Title IX. of American law, which says women must have equal opportunities to men. So we know those cases are coming. There's more litigation. This is a great thing for lawyers.
Yes, I was going to say.
There's a lot of litigation on the horizon.
And before we take a break, what happens, and here's a concern that I don't know that it was addressed, but you've got a lot of young people here. You know, they're in college, but, I mean, they're still very, very young. They may be given good amounts of money that they're just not used to handling. How are they going to be protected? Is there some mechanism to protect their finances?
There is zero mechanism to protect their finances. They will be in the hands of their lawyers. If they are good enough to play professionally, they will be in the hands of their agents. But it's a very interesting point. We'll have a football player, 19 years old, getting paid $6 million to play quarterback. And there he sits at that age with that money. So there will be some very bad stories out of this, and there'll be some successful stories.
Let's take a break. And when we come back, I want to hear Lester Munson speculate as to what the upshot is going to be of all of this. If we can look at our crystal ball maybe 10 years from now, how is this going to change colleges? How is this going to change college sports? And how is this going to change the way athletes perform their jobs? College athletes are now going to be compensated. We're here with Lester Munson, who is a lawyer for 57 years. He was a Sports Illustrated sports writer and worked for ESPN for 16 years. Lester, we talked a little bit about the likeness and the use of athletes' images, and they're free to do whatever they want as far as get compensated, right?
Yes.
What about the schools now? What are they going to pay the athletes, and are there caps on that?
The schools are basically going to be a pass-through, although they will be, in some cases, involved in the payments to the athletes. There will be a cap of $20 million per school on what the schools can directly pay to the athletes. That will be governed by this new College Sports Commission, and they will attempt to evaluate those on whether it has a valid business purpose, whether it is a reasonable range of compensation, and whether it is market value, all of which are totally subjective, and there will be arguments and arbitrations about that among all these players and among the schools. It'll be it'll add to the general turmoil now pending in college sports.
So if the college is paying up to $20 million to the athletes in their programs, is that going to change the college and how they raise money for these things? Is this going to hurt them, or do they have $20 million, these big schools, do they have $20 million sitting around that they can use for athletics?
There are schools like Texas, Ohio State, Stanford, Duke, who can afford this. The vast majority of schools cannot afford it. They will have to cut staff. They will have to find a way to sell the names of their stadiums for income. They will have to do a lot of things that they don't want to do to make sure that they can compete at this level with the other schools. So it's going to be a real hardship. School like University of Illinois, it's going to be a hardship. There's no question about it.
Does it make U of I more profitable to have a good team? I mean, obviously, more people are going to pay for advertising. More people are going to go to the games, buy memorabilia, whatever. But, I mean, are they going to invest this money to make their schools succeed in sports?
That is really the ultimate question. And the trustees of the University of Illinois, the president, the other governing people are going to have to decide to what extent do they want to extend themselves out to compete in the Big Ten Conference. Lately, they've been semi-competitive. Do they want to invest the kind of money that they're going to have to invest to keep up with a school like Ohio State? We don't know. It's going to be very interesting to watch. These people governing the universities now have some painful decisions to make.
Absolutely. And so do you think that just putting, you know, you're casting your eyes way out ahead of, you know, into 10 years, is this going to affect colleges? Like affect, you said they're going to maybe have to fire staff. Well, this is going to affect other college students who are not involved in athletics. Do you see that being a situation?
It will immediately affect other students in the form of the schools to pay these expenses will add to the fees that each student pays for each semester or each quarter. At Northwestern, for example, they use the student fees to pay for the deficit in the athletic program. So the student fees, which were once $100, are now much more than that because they have a deficit in athletics. And the governing people decide that's what they want to do. Next would be, if you look 10 years ahead, something has to provide a structure here. The structure will come from either court cases or legislation, or if somehow there could be collective bargaining between the athletes and the schools. Legislation is what the universities are looking for. The guy working on the legislation is Ted Cruz, the senator from Texas. Mm. He's devoted months to this issue. The athletes and their representatives are worried that if there's legislation, these new benefits will be taken from them when the Congress acts. So it's going to be a real contest between the players and the schools at the United States Congress. Just as an example, last week, the commissioner of the SEC, one of the big athletic conferences, and the athletic director of Notre Dame were on the golf course with Donald Trump, lobbying him for legislation. So it's being contested at a high level.
Would the legislation arguably change this settlement?
Absolutely. The idea would be if the universities get their way and get some legislation, they will cut back on this settlement. They will eliminate the athletes' mobility to move among schools, and they will cut back on the payments. The likelihood of that happening is pretty slim, but it bears watching.
So, you know, a lot of people say, well, if you're paying these athletes, it's just like watching professional athletics, and it really takes the collegiate feel out of sports. How do you think, obviously, when college athletes are paid, they're going to be rich young men and women, mostly men. So how do you think that's going to impact them and their playing abilities, their ability to go to professional sports? Is this going to change them other than make them rich?
I think the big change will be they will suddenly be rich. There's no question about that. I do not see it changing the level of play at the college level. They will play at a certain level. They will play at a higher level when they go to the pros. There's only a tiny fraction of college athletes who make it into the pros, less than 5%. They will do very well, but they've always done very well. The ones who play only at the college level, they're going to do very well for the first time.
Will there be other points to negotiate? So, for instance, if an athlete is going to get a four-year scholarship, or an athlete is going to get some sort of guarantee that if he gets injured that he will get the rest of his scholarship, are there going to be other terms other than just plain, here's your money?
There are other terms. Most of those are in effect. Injury protection, for example, if you're injured playing football at a school like Illinois or Northwestern, you are now protected for several years into your future. At one time, they didn't do anything for those guys. Now, because of other litigation, they have to do it. Otherwise, athletes, generally speaking, are very well cared for at universities. It's only the money that is really at issue here.
We have just a couple minutes, but I want to ask you, are these athletes going to be employees of the school?
Good question. The schools do not want them to be employees. They are in court fighting against that right now. There's a case in Philadelphia that will be tried next year that will determine whether they are employees. Already, there have been two cases, one at the NLRB, one in federal district court, in which athletes were ruled to be employees. Nothing has happened as a result of that, but the schools do not want them to be employees. They do not want to pay workers' compensation. They do not want to be bargaining benefits with the athletes. They want to be able to impose their ideas on their life on the campus.
So it would be simply a contract rather than an employment relationship.
Probably. Yes.
So we have about a minute left. And Lester, you've been around the sports block for a long time, and I hope you're going to be around a lot longer. Is this going to be a good thing all in, or not a good thing, in your opinion?
Right now, it is total turmoil in college sports. It's going to get worse. There's going to have to be something, some structure somehow imposed. The courts are not really doing it. The courts generally have been for the athletes. The only case to go to the United States Supreme Court came out 9-0 for the athletes and against the schools. So if it stays in court, the schools are going to have a lot of serious problems.
Interesting. It's going to be very interesting to watch this. Are we going to, and then one final question, we've got a few seconds. Are we going to have better college sports because they're being paid and they're going to attract better people?
I think they're going to be better at the elite level because of the payment. However, the level of competition, chances are, is going to go down, and we may lose schools who cannot keep up with these developments.
Very, very interesting. Lester, well, you'll be back again for more turmoil and explaining the turmoil. Lester Munson, thank you so much for joining us on this Father's Day.